2 Timothy 2, chapters or verses 3 and 4 says this, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, like a good soldier. Father, we come this morning in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we do remember this day, what it means to serve. God, we have people that have served us and we're so grateful for that. Lord, your word tells us also that we are to serve like soldiers. Lord, to do your kingdom's work, we have a duty, a responsibility to do that. God, I pray that we would indeed be faithful to it, just like those who have been faithfully serving our nation and continue to do so. Lord, help us to build us up, to mold us, Lord, into soldiers for the cause of the kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The military life, and for my sake specifically, my understanding of it, I did spend some time in the Air Force National Guard, but predominantly it was the Navy, active duty for 8 years, and it is a different world. I mean, it is completely different. How many of you are veterans? I know there's a couple of you in here. It's different. It is hard to understand, for a civilian to understand what it's like to live 24/7, 365, you know, as a military person. And I've run across a number of different lists over the years. I've seen people put out, like, if you want to understand what it's like, then this is how you can kind of simulate military life as a civilian, you know, at your home. So this one, I have a little list here of how to illustrate or how to simulate shipboard life if you are in the Navy. And it is very unique. And so this is specific to the Navy. But if you want to simulate shipboard life, these are some of the things you can do at home to help you understand it. First, the first one here applies to if you're a submariner. Let me just tell you, submariners are a whole different class. They are odd, okay? They're unique, okay? I can classify, when I was in, all submariners were the people that played Dungeons and Dragons, and they wore little wire rim glasses, and they were kind of nerdy, and they were a very specific type of people that go out. I mean, if you understand, our ballistic missile submarines that were stationed at Point Loma, right across from where I was at North Island, they would pull away from the pier, submerge. 3 months later, they'd come back to the pier, pop up, and dock. 3 months, if you can imagine that. So, first one, this is submariner specific. Buy a dumpster. Chip off all the paint down to the bare metal, paint it gray, and live in it for 6 months with the lid closed, of course. So, yeah, that's actually, a dumpster is a little bit spacious for a submarine, if you've ever been on a submarine. I got a few pictures that help you understand what I'm talking about. You know, in a house, you have walls. You have the exterior wall and the interior wall, and all your plumbing and your wiring goes inside the wall. That's not possible on a steel ship that you don't have between walls. So run all the piping and wires in your house on the outside of the interior walls. That's what it looks like on a Navy ship. Just wires and pipes everywhere. Right out in the, it's not really aesthetically pleasing. And it's all gray. And it's just miles and miles and miles and miles of it. Number three, repaint your house once a month. There's always somebody chipping paint and repainting it on a ship. That's going on all the time. Place a metal barrier on the lower 18 inches of every door in your house. I've talked about this. This is running hurdles. And you run down it and you jump, but then you have to duck at the same time or you'll hit your head. Those are called knee knockers for a reason. Actually, they're more like shin destroyers than knee knockers, but that's what they call them. Add 8 handles to every door. I'd like to have to close that, open and close that all the time. But if you want to maintain watertight integrity on a ship, that's what you got to do. You got to close the watertight hatches, otherwise they don't do you any good. On Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, turn your water temperature to 200 degrees. On Tuesday and Thursday, set the temperature to 10 degrees. On Saturday and Sunday, inform the family that they use too much water during the week and there will be no showers. Stack all your beds on top of one another in a closet. Raise your bed to within 6 inches of the ceiling and stow all of your clothing and possessions in a 36 by 18 by 12 inch locker. If it keeps moving, okay, smart aleck. Go back in the room. Anyways, so the little space, that's three racks, okay, three beds. And the little metal part you see underneath the blue little thing, that's your mattress. That's your locker. And everything that you possess has to fit in that locker because that is your only storage space. On the ship for that. And that's actually pretty nice. You probably didn't have it that good, did you? Did you still have the... just a canvas, like a cot. Like a canvas cot. And that's where the term... They tell you in the morning when you get up, it's reveille, reveille, reveille. Heave out and trice up. And that's what you did. You got out of your bed and then you triced it up, right? To get it up out of the way. It was just a canvas stretched over a metal frame. So we had it pretty plush compared to that. So every time you leave or enter your house, salute the porch light and ask your dog for permission to go ashore or come aboard as applicable. Because that's what you do. You salute the flag on and off the ship, going on and off every time. Aircraft, this is for aircraft carrier simulation. Have house movers relocate your home 10 feet under runway 19 at Chicago International Airport and then live there for 6 months. And that's no joke because where I on the USS Kitty Hawk, my berthing compartment was right at the very end of catapults 3 and 4. And so when F-14s went off in full afterburner, they were literally right above your head blasting against your compartment and it would do this. And the thing that's amazing about it is you get used to it. If you lived in Ohio City, you live next to a railroad track, right? You can't live in Ohio City without living next to a railroad track. When we lived on Archer Street, we were literally like 30 or 40 feet from the railroad track and you sleep through it, you get used to it. But there on the ship, F-14s could take off, and our shop was right underneath the arresting gear where they land, and there's big cables that catches it and, keeps you from, it helps you land anyway. You go from 160 miles an hour to zero in like a second, 2 seconds. But I could sleep through an F-14 taking off right above my head, but then my little digital watch, my alarm, when I had to get up and go beep, 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 and I'd wake up. So you just get tuned into those kinds of things. Stand in the sun for an hour without moving a muscle while your grandfather reads the complete Old Testament book of Numbers. Walk around your car every 4 hours and check the tire pressure, oil level, and fuel level for every 15 minutes and keep an accurate log of the readings or logbook. Every 4 Sunday, put on your Sunday best, go and stand on your front porch for 4 hours. This is quarterdeck watch. So you get all put on your dress uniform and you go do quarterdeck watch and you just stand there. Work for 15 or 20 years as a machinist and make a 23-year-old English major your boss and he tells you how things should be done. For those, I think we're all in here enlisted guys, right? So that's your officers. They come in, and if they're smart, they don't tell you how to do it. I have another picture here, just the next picture. You have your office chair wherever you work. That was my office chair for about 3 to 6 hours at a shot. So it's not the most comfortable. It's amazing what you can sleep in. You can sleep in an ejection seat, and I used to fall asleep, and then if you fall asleep, then your head would be like, oh, my neck, oh, it's stiff. So it is military, and I do all this just to illustrate, to be a soldier, to be a sailor, to be an airman, it's different. You cannot understand it as civilians unless you've lived it. And it's different, but it's rewarding as well. And that's what we're told here in Paul writes to Timothy and equates Christians to soldiers. And soldiers are different. They are not involved in the things of the world. They are not involved in civilian affairs. It's a different world, and there's a different mentality that goes along with it and a different way of doing things. And that's how we should view ourselves. Too many times as Christians, we just continue to live right along and just run through the same motions as everybody else in the world. And that is not what God intends. We are to be like good soldiers. So we need to be following as a soldier, as a sailor, as an airman. We follow the orders of our commanding officers. And there are certain traits that go along with being in a military. You have, and I want to look at those today, five different traits: duty, service, courage, honor, and sacrifice. So I want to start by going to Romans 15:19. I just wanted to try to get your mindset in that there is a different way. In the military, life is very, very different. And if you've been a spouse of somebody in the military, you may not experience it firsthand, but you know that it's different. That's what Paul is telling Timothy here, that you are to see yourself and understand that the way of life that God has for you is different than other people, than other non-Christians. And we should see ourselves that way. And we should understand the things that are expected of us and the things that we will do are not the same things that people in the world do. And that's the way that it should be. That's right. And that's proper. God wants us to be good soldiers. Romans 15, verses 15 through 19 says, I have written you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sacrificed by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glorify Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except that which has which Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to pay God for what I have said and done by the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. So this passage links two of these aspects, both service and duty. And he starts off by saying that to be ministers of Christ, we have a duty to proclaim the gospel. Do you understand that? A duty. Do you know what it means? I looked up just to make sure here so I didn't mess it up. Well, the definition of the word duty is an act or a course of action that is required of one by position, social custom, law, or religion. So we have a requirement, something that is required of us by our position as Christians. Or as Paul was pointing out to Timothy, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, you have a specific duty. It is a requirement. What is that requirement? That requirement is to proclaim the gospel. Now, you may say, well, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a preacher. I don't go around proclaiming the gospel. You need to proclaim the gospel in your own little way, in your little world, whatever that is. On the workplace, in your neighborhood, whatever. And your proclaiming of the gospel may be loving people that are not very lovable. It may be serving them in some way, you know, just gifts of service, just gifts of hospitality. It may be helping them out. They may have a project that needs to get done, but they're not very good at organizing or administrating, but you're gifted at administrating and organizing. Whatever your gift, in whatever way, it doesn't mean that you have to preach the gospel, but in our own way, within our own giftings, it is required of us to proclaim the gospel. And again, you say, well, like, you know, other people don't do that. That's right. Other people don't. The world doesn't. We do, because we're soldiers. And we live in a different world than everybody else lives in. That's why you go live in a dumpster That our world is not the world. If your next door neighbor is not a Christian, then you do not live in the same world by the same standards and have the same duties and service requirements that they do. It's different. So we have a duty, a requirement that God expects us to do, to proclaim the gospel. He says in verse 17, therefore I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. This is what God calls us to do, our duty, to carry out our and to serve. Our duty is to serve others. We serve when we proclaim the truth and the goodness of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's our duty to serve as witnesses. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 says, it is he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. It is what? We all are gifted, like I said, in our own way, and we have those gifts to do what? To carry out gifts of service. Just like in the military, there's people, lots of people that do all kinds of different jobs. I mean, you talk to somebody, it's like, oh, yeah, I was in the Army. Oh, I was in the Army, too. Well, what did you do? Well, I did this, and I did this. And they can be wildly different. You have people who are out there, you know, shooting guns, driving tanks, throwing hand grenades, all kinds of stuff. And then you got somebody else's job, and it is to type and file, or to cook. And you know what? They're all required. We always think about the infantry type of kind of thing when you think of Marines and Army and that kind of stuff. They're like 15% maybe of the branch of service. There's so much more that goes on. You got guys that are mechanics and, you know, computer programmers and people that are trying to do, you know, trying to hack the enemy's computers. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on nowadays. We all have our different things, but they're all geared towards the same thing. God wants us to be prepared to do our works of service, whatever that service is. To be a soldier, to be a Christian, is to serve so that the body of Christ might be built up. And that's just it. The military, just like Christianity, we don't think about this. There's a saying about, like in the military, you're only as strong as your weakest person. You're only as strong as your weakest link. And the same is true within the body of Christ. If we have a weak link, then that brings the whole body down. We do works of service to do what? Not to be weaker, but to build up the body of Christ. And that's the role that we play. We should always remember that. If we are Christians, if we're military, whatever, our job is to build up that body that we are a part of. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 3 through 6 says, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for this privilege of sharing in the service to the saints. And they did not do as expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. If you didn't know this was a passage of Scripture, you could read this as a part of an address on Memorial Day, right? They gave as much as they were able and beyond, as in laying down your life for a cause, which is what we celebrate, what we commemorate on Memorial Day. People that gave everything, people that died in the service of our nation. I mean, the same verbiage that God gives us about how we are to be a part of serving the kingdom, you could use as an address in a Memorial Day speech. He calls it a privilege in verse 4 to share in the service. That's a mind change that needs to happen for a lot of times. If we don't look, we look at service as something, you know, certainly not as a privilege. A service is going to be, it's going to be labor, it's going to be work, it's going to be something that, but he says it's a privilege to serve. It's a privilege to serve. They gave themselves first to the Lord. I understand, folks, that it's hard as human beings to do this. We all are going to have to work at it. I have to work at it for sure. But he says they gave themselves first to the Lord. That's not what we normally do. Our natural inclination as people is to do what? I give first to myself. I get that. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody because I have that too. But I need to be aware that as a Christian, as a good soldier, the first person I'm supposed to give to think about in my priority of thinking is, what is God's intent? What does God want? What is God calling me to do? I give in keeping according to His will. The videos that we watched this morning were picked out by Callie. I was watching some of the different those videos yesterday, and I had to avoid the ones that had just the shots of Arlington with all the headstones just as far as I can see. I had to explain to Callie what those were, and it was so hard because she said, "Grandpa, you look like you're crying." It's hard to think of people that would do something, that would give that much, that wasn't for their benefit. I'll do a lot for myself. It's hard to think of people that would give their lives for something that did not benefit them. It didn't benefit them, it cost them. We're to be like good soldiers. If you've been in the military, you've probably heard this phrase. There's all kinds of rules and regulations, but there's also things that go along with it. There are privileges and there are benefits. As Christians, we have all kinds of privileges and benefits. We're children of God. We're children of the King. We're promised an inheritance. He goes before us. He makes the crooked places straight and the rough places smooth. The Holy Spirit, it guides us and gives us wisdom and insight and understanding. His blood protects us. He wants us to prosper and not to come to harm. All kinds of privileges. In the military, you have benefits. You know, I always knew I had a roof over my head. I always had, more than enough to eat. Paycheck always cleared. I mean, if your paycheck doesn't clear, the country has big trouble. You got medical care, you got dental care, all those kind of things. Although, I could do better than the military dental care. I once got a root canal from a Navy dentist without anesthesia. That was fun. So now I hate going to the dentist, man. I mean, I hate going to the dentist. All these flashbacks. But you have things that are benefit. If you join, then these things are a benefit to you. You can count on them. And that's the way it is as a Christian too. But there is one line. There's one line that trumps every other line in the military. And that is, we can do whatever we want to you for the good of. So if you're in the Navy, for the good of the Navy, we'll do with you what we want. For the good of the Army, we'll send you and do with you what we want. That trumps everything else. And while we have all kinds of blessings as Christians, for the good of the kingdom, God might ask you something that cost you everything. Just like people who serve our nation. I think about, and I'm going to do a bad, I believe that there was a movie made several years back called The Tip of the Spear. And it was missionaries that went to Ecuador. And everybody told them, don't go to Ecuador, man. They're going to kill you. And they went to Ecuador and they got killed as soon as they got off the boat. But today, that tribe, they're Christian. For the good of the kingdom, God said, go and give your life. Like good soldiers, they did. Duty. As I said, it's an obligation. We are required to do it. If Christians do not carry out their duty, who will? The world's certainly not going to do it. There is no other way for the truth of God to be shared in this world. There is no other way by which the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be shared if we don't do it. It's our duty. We're obligated to do it. Romans 15:17 says that Paul says that he glories in his service to God. I read this passage a while ago. I'm still on that Romans passage. That he glories in his service to God. We don't think sometimes his service is glory, but if you're people that have been in the military understand there can be some glory from it. You serve, you do your duty, you go, and you go through some difficult times and some, you know, family separations and all that kind of stuff. But if you do your job and you do it well, then you're rewarded for it. And you have a certain amount of pride for it. You know, they give you awards or medals or whatever it is, or letters of citation and stuff like that. And there's a certain amount of, you can glory in that. It's like, I did this. Everything that you've ever done that's most satisfying to you has been what? Easy or hard? Hard. You find the most satisfaction in something that you accomplished that was hard, right? Anybody can do it if it's easy. But a lot of people don't because it's hard. If you choose to do it, then you stand out. There's nothing wrong with that. If you do something that only a very small part of our people can do, then that's okay. You should take some satisfaction in that. We can take some satisfaction in being soldiers in God's kingdom for his army, because but only if we carry out our obligation. If you're obligated to do something and you do it, you can say, okay, I did it. If you're obligated to do something and you don't do it, there's no glory in that. Amen. Paul says in Romans 15:18, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. Paul doesn't speak of civilian or worldly things. He speaks of military or Christian things, God things. He says, I only speak about things that glorify God, things that God used me to accomplish. I don't talk about all this other stuff. I don't spend time doing that. I focus on the things that God has done. 1 Peter 4:11 says, Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Soldiers do what their commanding officer tells them to do. Christians do what God wants us to do. And we use the gift, or we do the job that God's given us to do. That's what he's called us to do. What gifts do you have? That's why it's important for you to know your gifts so that you can use them. Those are the things that God wants us to do, like good soldiers. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. If you get around people that have been in the military, they talk military. My wife... I remember a while back we were on our way home from somewhere, maybe it was when we were in Virginia or something, and we stopped at some stores, and I had on a Navy t-shirt, and some guy goes, oh, you're in the Navy? He goes, oh yeah, me too. And then we find out that we were stationed at NAS North Island, blah, blah, blah. And Judy just knew, she just walked off and just went and did her own thing. Because she's like, I'm not gonna see him for God knows how long. That's what it is. That's what it's like. Those are the things that we talk about. We focus on and God wants us as Christians to focus on those things. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord. That should be at the forefront of our mind all the time. We talk about things like, you know, Paul says, pray without ceasing. Well, does that mean that you go into your prayer closet and get down on your hands and knees and fold your hands and pray 24 hours a day, 365 days a year? No, that's not what it means. It means that whatever we're doing, it's always in the forefront of our minds that I'm doing it as one of God's children. I'm doing it as his representative. I want to do what he wants me to do. I want to always, I live my life continuously conscious of what God wants. Every day in the when I was in the Navy, we got what was called the order of the day. And it was laid out what was expected to happen in the squadron that day. Here's what's going to happen. Here's when it's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. Order of the day, every day. We don't get that as Christians, but in a way we do. We know that we are to live as soldiers for the kingdom of God, that that's to be at the forefront of everything that we do, everything we think about. It should be governed by our relationship with God and advancing the gospel. Courage, Matthew 10, 16 through 20. Look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves, so that be as shrewd as snakes and as harmless as doves. Be aware, for you will be handed over to the courts and will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. When you're in the military, you're instructed how to answer questions if you ever come in contact with the enemy or capture or something like that. You go through and they say, you know, this is the information you can give. These are the things you can say. These are the things you can't say. Here, God is telling us that when we are in conflict with the world, he'll tell us what to say. We should not make our own arguments or do something for our own benefit. Let me illustrate it this way. I have a feeling you guys are kind of, are you with me or okay, I'm not so sure. More caffeine, that's the answer. When you come into contact, and I got news for you folks, you're in contact with the enemy every day, okay? When we're confronted by non-believers or even people that are anti-Christ or anti-Christian, we always want to say things that will soften the interaction. We don't want to have conflict. People don't like conflict. They don't want to do something that the other person is going to make them unhappy. You don't want to make them unhappy. You don't want to cause them to be upset. You know, you want to soften the situation, right? That's not what you do. Just like in the military, they say, "Hey, we won't torture you if you give us this information." You can't say, "Well, I don't want to be tortured, so I'll give them the information." No, yeah, guess what? You're going to have conflict. It's going to be difficult. I got news for you, folks. If you're going to be a good soldier and live like a good soldier, there's a really good chance you're going to have conflict with the world. You can't diminish the truth of God's word just to avoid hard situations. Just like you can't give up the secrets in the military just to avoid a hard situation. As in aviation, in the Navy, they train you for this. I went through something called SEER school, Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape. And you go out and you survive with nothing if you had to eject from your airplane and this is all you got, now go survive, you know, for the next 4 or 5 days or whatever it was. We did in the desert, and then they took us into the mountains and survived. And it was cold. It snowed. And we had nothing. You're making a tent and a sleeping bag out of your parachute. And it was cold. Didn't sleep much. Didn't have any food. And then you have to finally give up if they don't capture you, because the whole time people are searching for you to capture you. And if they don't, you finally have to give up. I managed to evade all the time. I never got captured. But by a certain date, they blew a big siren and you had to come out from hiding, and they took you to the POW camp, and then you had to go through the POW camp. And there, guess what they do? They do all kinds of things. You ever hear of waterboarding? They waterboarded us. I luckily avoided being waterboarded, but I did. They put you in a box and you're all down in there, and then they blow smoke in your face and they get you out in the middle of the night, you know, and hose you down with fire hoses and, you know, put a fake gun against your head and tell you, you know, give us the secrets or else. Now, you know they're not going to shoot you in the head, but let me tell you something. After 5 days and you're cold and you're hungry and you're tired and you're miserable, it starts to get more real. But you can't tell them, you can't take the easy way out. As Christians, we can't take the easy way out. You can't tell the world what it wants to hear and not tell them the truth of the gospel. Because we're not civilians, we are soldiers. Whatever you say or do, you are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Courage. I read that, right? We answer as our commander tells us to answer, and that is, we answer with the truth of God's word. Just like it's not easy being in the military, it's not easy being a Christian, but it's very rewarding. But we know a standard that we have to live up to. Philippians 1, 27 through 38 says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of God, worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing side by side, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. There will be a sign, this will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, that they are going to be, that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are in this struggling together. It's not easy, but it's our job. If we're going to be Christians, then this is what God says that we must live. We must live as part of God's army, is what another way of, you know, God, verse 27 saying it, that we are conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of God in the good news of Jesus Christ. This should cause us to live as worthy witnesses, to serve, to live up to our obligations, to fulfill our duties. And we're doing this all together. And it's a privilege. It is a privilege to serve in God's army. It is a privilege to struggle for the sake of the gospel. Don't be intimidated by it. Again, we always want to take the easy way out, but that is not what God wants for us. The honor of being in God's army. Proverbs 15:33 says, fear of the Lord teaches wisdom. Humility precedes honor. If we're going to have honor, we must first be humble. It says humility precedes honor. But it takes humility to serve with honor. Not thinking of yourself, but serving others. I have to be humble because if I think of myself, then I'm going to have a hard time serving honorably. Because I'm going to think of myself rather than serving others. It's not honorable to always just think of yourself first, amen? It's honorable to serve others, to do as God has called us to do. So I have to be humble, setting myself aside, and putting myself in second place, and then I can serve honorably. So humility comes first, but God expects honor for us to serve honorably, serving other people. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, if you keep yourself pure, then you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. We need to be honorable. If we're going to reflect well on God, then we have to be honorable people. Right? I care about who I associate with, don't you? I care about this church and how it conducts itself, because I got news for you. When you go out into this community and people know you're a part of this church, how you conduct yourself reflects on me. And I care about that because for the good or bad, I hope it's for the good. I'm the face of the church. Your church is bold. But that's true. That it's a big deal to me. Because I don't, look, I fall short in so many ways. But I'm not ashamed of my faith. I'm not gonna hide my faith. And I'm not gonna live my way out in this community in a way that dishonors God. There's a lot of things that I fall short on, but that's not one of them. And so when somebody else that associates with me does not live honorably and it reflects on me, that really bothers me. We need to be honorable people, or else it says here in 2 Timothy 2:21, we're not useful to God. Hebrews 13:18 says, pray for us, for our conscience is clear, and we want to live honorably in everything we do. Honorably in everything we do. Not just coming when we're at church, but all the time, to live honorably. 1 Samuel 2:30 says, therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I promise you that your branch of the tribe of Levi would always be my priest, but I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. God wants us to honor him. If we honor him, he'll honor us. When we are a part of God's army, we have all these things that we need to understand that are a part of our lives, that we are expected of us. Duty, honor, service, sacrifice. Let me close with sacrifice. Hebrews 13:16 says, and do not forget to do good and share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. We're to remember to give sacrificially, that we can have, that it pleases God when we give in a sacrificial manner. The men and women that we memorialize today that gave their lives in service for this country, they gave sacrificially. God asked us to give sacrificially. Romans 12:1 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give of your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Be kind and find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him, to give ourselves, to give our lives. We recognize again today that the giving of our lives in service of our country is the ultimate sacrifice. God says, our sacrifice to him is to say, here I am, Lord, use me. To give our bodies, Lord, in your service, whatever it is that you want from us, that we're willing to do it. I'll close where I started, 2 Timothy 2:3-4. Endure hardship with us like good soldiers of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. If you're going to be really successful in the military, then it's your life. You give completely to it. It's 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. It's what you do. If we're going to be successful in the kingdom of God, then we give ourselves completely to him. I don't know. Maybe we should tell people that when they get saved, it's like, okay, you're on active duty now. Because we all understand what that means. At one time I was in the National Guard. Let me tell you, I did that one weekend a month. When you're on active duty, that's a different thing. It's 24/7. Don't get involved in the world's affairs. I mean, that doesn't mean that we want to influence the world, not be influenced by the world. And that's the difference of getting involved in their affairs. are we good soldiers? God calls us to be good soldiers. If we're good soldiers, we don't get caught up in the things of the world. We want to do what pleases our commanding officer. And in this regard, Paul here is talking about God as our commanding officer. Do what it is that he wants us to do. But the same characteristics, and I love this illustration as a soldier that Paul writes about, being like a good soldier, they parallel being a good Christian. Service, duty, courage, honor, and sacrifice. Those things make us good soldiers. They make us good Christians. And that's what God wants from us, is to be not involved in the things of this world, to be good soldiers, being obedient to him, following the commands of our commanding officer, and saying, for the good of the kingdom of God, I'll let God use me however he desires. So be like good soldiers.